Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Backheeled Show. My name is Joe Lowry, and today is a national team-focused episode. We are diving into the U.S. men's national team's Nations League win over Mexico. That is three straight CONCACAF Nations League trophies for the United States men's national team. We'll talk about that match on Sunday and what it means for the U.S. moving forward. And we're going to chat about the U.S. women's national team's roster ahead of the She Believes Cup, which kicks off in early April. That roster was announced earlier today as I'm recording on Tuesday, March 26th. We'll do both of those things in less than 10 minutes because here on the Backheeled Show, we believe that just because soccer games are 90 minutes long doesn't mean that soccer podcasts have to be. So without any further ado, let's get to it and talk soccer. All right, folks, let's dive into the U.S. men's national team's 2-0 win over Mexico. You've seen the Tyler Adams goal, the banger from 35 yards out to give the U.S. a 1-0 lead right before halftime. Go watch it again. It's that good. It's going to bring a smile to your face. It was an incredible moment from Tyler Adams. A great goal in the second half from Gio Reyna. Good skill from Christian Pulisic throughout various portions of this match. A lot to like if you're a U.S. men's national team fan. A perfect performance? No. But one that reminds everybody that the United States are still the top dog in CONCACAF? Absolutely. And that is where I want to go with this conversation. You can go read more about the game over on backheel.com. We've got stuff over on the site. We had Sanjay Sujanta Kumar over in Arlington, Texas at AT&T Stadium. I think he just slept in the stadium the entire time from Thursday to Sunday because he's that committed. Now, we had Sanjay over in Texas to give us some color from the ground. But the thing I want to get to is what this game means going forward and what it tells us more in the big picture. The United States own this region. They have won every version of the CONCACAF Nations League, a competition that they have taken more seriously than the Gold Cup since the Nations League started to exist just a few years ago. They have won what has really been the premier continental competition every single time it's been on offer. The United States own this region. The gap between them and Mexico seems to only be widening at this point as Mexico failed to develop top talent, as they failed to move players on over to Europe to test them at high levels. All that stuff the U.S. is doing straight up better than Mexico right now, which means we don't learn a ton in the grand scheme of things from tournaments like the Nations League at this point. We learn lots of things about individual players. We learned against Jamaica that Joe Scally really isn't that dude. We learned against Mexico that Chris Richards still has struggles in the air. We learned that the U.S. still can't move the ball all that comfortably under pressure against some of these teams, and they still have trouble breaking down low blocks. We learned that Gio Reyna continues to be an incredible performer for this team. We learned that there's no number nine who is seizing this job with both hands. We learned all those micro things. But in a macro sense, these games don't truly test the United States. At least certainly the Mexico games don't test the United States anymore. I think in some ways we learned a bit more from the Jamaicas, from the Panamas, from the slightly lower level teams in this region when they play the U.S., because it forces the U.S. to be the protagonist. It forces them to actually have the ball and figure out creative ways to break down a block. There were some good moments against Jamaica. There were more bad moments against Jamaica. Those are things we can take. But in general, the U.S. is the top dog, which means it is only natural to look forward to this summer, where the United States have friendlies in June against Brazil and Colombia, where they have a Copa America group stage game against Uruguay, where they have games against Bolivia and Panama in that group stage as well, and a potential matchup with either Brazil or Colombia if the U.S. get out of their group, which they very much should, in the quarterfinals. So there's a lot on the table in terms of real, genuine tests against higher-level opposition for the United States coming this summer. They look ready. They don't look perfect. Again, the Jamaica game was rough. There are portions of the Mexico game where they were obviously not as sharp as you'd want them to be. But this U.S. team has taken control of CONCACAF. They are ready to take the next step forward in their collective evolution as a group. Because how many games against good teams have we seen the U.S. have over the last 5 years now? Not that many. It's been England and the Netherlands at the World Cup, and there were some mixed performances, certainly against the Netherlands in that round of 16 elimination loss for the United States. It's been Germany in that friendly last fall. It was a friendly against Uruguay. It was a friendly against Morocco and Japan and Switzerland. And really, that's kind of it for this U.S. team. They have not had many chances outside of CONCACAF to test themselves. This summer will be a real test. It will give us a much clearer picture of where the United States is ahead of the biggest World Cup of all time coming in 2026. It is going to be an illuminating tournament, an illuminating summer for the U.S. men's national team. And I am ready for it. Let's bring it on. Now, on the women's side of things, Twyla Kilgore slash Emma Hayes. Maybe it's Emma Hayes sort of pulling the strings on Twyla Kilgore, the puppet there. Who knows? The U.S. Women's National Team roster was released for She Believes Cup. Again, this tournament is kicking off in early April. Emma Hayes will still not be in charge of the team as she's finishing up her duties with Chelsea. So it will be the interim manager, Twyla Kilgore, on the sidelines. I am not ashamed to say that I love this roster. And I'm really, really excited for the U.S. to kick off this tournament against Japan on Saturday, April 6th. There's so much young quality attacking talent. Mallory Swanson back in the team. Kat Macario back in the team. Sophia Smith still in the team. And then you look one line deeper, or at least one age group deeper. Jaden Shaw still in the team. She is written in pen in every single lineup, and I think should be written in pen in terms of the starting 11 as well. Olivia Moultrie, young creative attacker for the Portland Thorns, back in the squad. She looks like a regular at this point. And the one name that I really wanted to drill into for just a second is Lily Yohannes. And don't blame yourself if you don't know much about Lily Yohannes yet at this point. She is 16 years old. She plays for Ajax in the Netherlands. She's played in the top flight there, also in the Champions League for Ajax this season. She's from Virginia. She moved to the Netherlands with her family back in 2017. So 7 years ago now, she's been in the Netherlands and she has developed into an incredibly talented young attacking midfielder playmaker type. I've watched the tape. I've watched her play for Ajax against PSG, other games this season over in Europe. She's the real deal. Her vision in playmaking is elite already for the US player pool. It looks elite for her competition over in Europe as well. She doesn't always control the field and control space with her movement and physicality in the way that you might like. But when she's on the ball, she is incredible. Like, she is already one of the best playmakers in the pool. And let me repeat, she's 16 years old. I could not be more excited. This tournament will not cap tie her. She's also eligible for the Netherlands. So she is not fully in the US boat at this point. But man, when you watch her play soccer, it is really hard not to smile. I don't often hype players to this extent. I hype Jaden Shaw to this extent. I'm back doing the same thing for Lily Yohannes, and I hope that makes it clear how incredible of a talent she is. I don't know if she's going to play in this window. I don't know exactly what that's going to look like. Either way, her international future will still be open and up for her to decide. But the Netherlands want her. The U.S. clearly want her at this point. She is so good on the ball, pulling strings, threading through balls, making plays, can break into the box to score an occasional goal. I hope we see her, even if it's just a short cameo. I hope we see her at some point in She Believes, because she is a difference maker. The young talent for the U.S. Women's National Team is quite all right. These players are absolutely unbelievable. Moultrie, Shaw, Yohannes, these players, along with hopefully Emma Hayes, are going to help transform the United States Women's National Team into a team that actually consistently threatens against every type of opponent moving forward. I am high on the future of this team right now. All right, folks, that is it for this episode of the Backheeled Show. If you want more American soccer coverage, and I do mean American soccer coverage, MLS, USL, US Open Cup, NWSL, men's, women's national team stuff, go check out backheeled.com. Lots of great content on the site right now. Go check us out and subscribe. For now, we'll be back again later this week.